Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Hey, thanks a lot for listening in to Musicians FAQ. It's Steve Todd. Today is part two of our interview with Dan Todd. In part one, we learned about how Dan played with Honeymoon Suite, Survivor, and Flood. And in part two, there's just jam-packed with all kinds of other bands and artists, such as Mike Reno from Loverboy, Alana Miles, Terry and Larry Gowan, hanging out with Kim Mitchell, and eventually playing with Platinum Blonde. So let's check in with Dan Todd.
I got connected with Alana Miles, and was lucky enough to play some shows with her. And Alana is, she's such a wonderful soul. And again, a real talent. She knows what she wants, how she wants it, you know, arrangements, all that stuff. She's just got it down. And I speak very, very highly of Alana. I love her to death, you know. I haven't talked to her in a while.
Always wanting more.
But yeah, you know, and with Robbie as well, I got lucky and was able to play with Mikey Reno.
Oh, wow. Okay.
From Loverboy.
Yep.
So Robbie and I backed up Mikey. And
so you guys are almost like the dynamic duo.
He was a bass player, I was a drummer. Awesome. We were like a rhythm section that was being used for everything.
For sure, you're super tight. You know each other's mannerisms.
Well, you would know. Yeah, that, you get working with a group of guys. It's like, you know, call Robbie and Dan. You need a bass player. Your rhythm section. Call those two. So I was really lucky to get connected with Robbie and we did some shows with Mike Reno and Mike was a character.
Yeah.
Really funny guy again, became friends with him and he's another guy who's a real musician who knows what he's doing and understands music and structure and he's very particular about the way things need to be played. When you take the band Loverboy, for instance, you got a drummer like Matt, you know, and Paul Dean, and got to know all these guys. Such great, and they just work together as a unit. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, people would be in conversations saying, well, if you took Neil Peart from Rush and stuck him with Steve Vai on guitar or Eddie Van Halen, you'd have the best band ever. Maybe not. It took those three characters to create Rush, you know, Neil and Geddy, to create what they did. So when you look at the group at Loverboy, it took that combination of bands to create that sound, that magic, you know. So, but, Robbie and I did some shows with Reno and
that'd be fun.
Yeah, you know, it was great playing all the Loverboy songs.
And these would be all big stadium,
big
festivals,
big venues, you know. Yeah.
I'm Tim Hollinger from Pasadena, Newfoundland, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.
And so time went on, and next thing you know, Robbie called me, and he says, we got to go play a game of golf. And I knew why he wanted to call me about the game of golf. Was because he was very much in getting Platinum Blonde off the ground. And so when he called me, he says, let's go do a round of golf. And I said, sure, I'll do the gig. So next thing you know, I just instantly became a member of Platinum Blonde. And I had to learn the entire show, because the first show we did in Cornwall was in front of 10,000 people. Yeah. We were playing with...
So a four-piece unit then at that point?
At that time, no, it was five. It was really? Bass, guitar, Mark on vocals, and a keyboard player, okay. And myself on drums. And so we went to Cornwall to play with this festival outside, and we were playing with April Wine. And it was great just walking out there, and it was just like instant huge crowds. And so from that show, we played there, and then we went to play in Edmonton at a place called the River Cree, which was a huge venue, and again, that one was sold out. And then next thing you know, we're out with In Excess in Calgary. So wow. So that was cool. So I only had a couple of weeks to learn everything.
Yeah.
And this was pre-tracking stuff, so really, for playing that stuff live, it was all, I had to get my tempos down with a click. I played to a click track, because Sergio, when he played guitar, he would he's a backbeater. He plays behind the beat, you know, which can work in some situations, but when you're talking about a band like Platinum Blonde, it's very up-tempo, very dance, dance rock and roll.
For sure.
That's a good way to put it. So it was, you had to kind of muscle him around a little bit. And won't give you my heart, no one lives there anymore. You said we're lovers, we could never be friends. Fascination ends, here we go again. Oh, oh, cause it's hard inside. played with Tottenham Live for the last 10 years.
Wow, okay.
And so we played with everybody.
The cool thing is you've seen probably every inch of Canada.
I have. Been very lucky, you know. And the great thing about that, too, was I was able to take my wife with me.
Yeah.
You know, so my wife and I have been from Newfoundland all the way to Vancouver.
We played Dauphin,
Manitoba.
Yep.
And just last year.
Yeah.
And a funny story about that, we played this huge, somehow Platinum Blonde got on this massive country festival. And at the end of the night, we finished the show, and we didn't think there was going to be a show because this storm came through. And I mean, the clouds came in and lightning, and it got ugly. And there was 16,000 people in this park to see, you know, to see the concerts that night, and everything came to a dead stop because this torrential storm came through, and did the show, and I read at this festival of country musicians, and then, you know, all these the people are sitting here looking at Platinum Blonde going, hey, this is okay. So it was kind of one of those weird moments that there was a lot of people who knew it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of former rock and roll people that switched the country over.
It's good to put it.
Vice versa. They know the stuff, so.
Yeah, but what was really funny about that was we were getting ready to leave. We're getting ready to go on the bus, and got a delivery here, and I guess Jason Aldean had 8 pizzas delivered to the bus.
Oh, okay.
So we ate pizza all the way back.
Okay.
You know, so that was fun. But yeah. I'm trying to think of something. Yeah, we played with Loverboy. I remember doing a show with Loverboy at we were in British Columbia.
And that's not with Mike Greeno, though, I guess.
No, Loverboy was Loverboy with the whole band of Loverboy.
Oh, that's neat. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So Platinum Blonde and Loverboy played this arena out there.
Okay, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's different playing a show with Mike Greeno as Mike Greeno.
Yeah.
Whereas there's Loverboy with Mike Greeno.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Platinum Blonde and Loverboy did a show together out in, I'm trying to think of the name of the city out there. It was beautiful. But, you know, we had finished our show. And I'm walking down the hall, and I hear, "Hey, Dan!" I look over; it was Darby Mills, and I know Darby, and Queen of Scream. You know what I mean? And she was there with her husband because they lived there. And was it Kelowna? It may have been Kelowna. But anyway, but we did the show, and it was great. Big arena gig, you know. And I'm hanging with Darby, and Loverboy's on doing their thing. And next thing you know, Loverboy's finished, and Natalie and I are standing with Darby down in the hallway, and I hear Mikey yell down the hallway, "Dan!" And I look down, and I says, "Yeah." He goes, "Beer me." I think he just wanted some of our beer, so we didn't touch theirs.
That's crazy.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah. You know?
Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Oh,
We had played when I played with Platinum Blonde. We had played some pretty big places, and a big moment for me. It was great for Natalie too. Was we were out with the Culture Club, and there was a great connection there because, of course, I love Culture Club's music, being that whole British reggae kind of vibe, yeah. You know. And what we thought was kind of cool was PK. Paul Kemsley was managing Boy George and Culture Club, but he's married to Dorit, and my wife is, of course, a big fan of the Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay. So we had a connection there, and we got a chance to become friends with PK, and we became friends with Boy George as well. And the whole band, what a family. They really accepted us and took us on, and we became friends, and I still keep in touch with Jimmy Front of House Sound, and everybody, because of COVID now everybody's on a break, you know, from playing and stuff, but they I know Culture Club's gonna get ready to go back out again. They'll be on the road for probably about 3 years now, you know, but they got a tune coming out called Like I Used To, and keep your ears for that one, folks. It is fantastic.
Really? Okay.
We'd be playing in we'd finish our show and Culture Club was on, we'd have to run out, you know, to go and listen to that song, because that was the one we were waiting for that night. Just a brand new Culture Club tune, great song, you know.
Good stuff.
But yeah, so you know, with Platinum Blonde, it was a real treat. And
the neat thing too, I think you didn't mention this, you were, like, when I saw you, you guys were a three-piece. This was in Grand Bend.
Mm-hmm.
But you were actually, you probably still had the click track or something.
I was running the whole show.
But you also had a laptop beside you.
Yes.
You were running the... basically the keyboard.
Yeah, all the tracks and everything. So
awesome.
Touching on what I do as a drummer, especially with a band like Platinum Blonde, I would have, listen, now we're talking drums now, folks. I would have my my kit, which I've been using. I use a drum brand, Rick Baker Composites. There's a gentleman that I've been very lucky to get to know and become great friends with, and he's built me three kits now. They're all made of carbon fiber. And I figure if they're good enough for racing cars, they're good enough for me. So he built me these drums that are just beautiful and worth quite a bit of money. And thank God for endorsements, because I'd go broke buying gear, you know. Oh, yeah. But he built me a couple of kits, and so along with the carbon fiber drums, I was also using Dawes drums. These are electronic trigger pads that were. They came out in the 80s, and he's really got the whole trigger system down to an art. So I became great friends with Dan Dawes, and he's supplied me with all my electronics. So basically, electronic pads are just switches that, when you hit them, they switch quickly into an interface which blows out a sound. You know, so no different than a keyboard. You hit a key and it plays a sound. These are like a pad that you hit with a stick and it plays a sound. So, but the difference with what I was doing live with Platinum Blonde is some of the songs we're not playing to track. So I'm just triggering keyboard parts. I'd hit a pad that would play, you know, a 17 second long motif.
Yep.
And I'd have to be playing to a click because, it was a real challenge learning this. And what was fun about this, Steve, was I remember contacting Dan saying, I need to trigger all this stuff and learn it. So he hooked me up with the pads, and he was explaining to me, get in touch with some MIDI guys up in Canada who can walk you through what you need to do. And I'm not much of a techie. You know, I just make it look good.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I had techs that could
sure.
set it all up for me.
Yep.
But I remember contacting some guys saying, okay, I've got this trigger pad. I need to play, you know, a sample that's this long. What do I do? Oh, you need to, these guys would say, oh, you download this program, get this, go buy this thing and put it all together. And if you have any questions, give me a call. So I'd get all the equipment that I needed, and I'd call these guys and go, okay, I don't know what to do. Yeah, well, I saw my friend do it once. You know what I mean? It's like, so I was on my own.
Yeah.
And
sometimes that's the best way.
Oh, yeah. A lot of learning, a lot of reading.
For sure.
And so when you saw me there, we'd be playing songs like Not in Love, which was one of their biggest hits.
Yep.
And there's a keyboard part that comes down on the downbeat, the second half of the chorus. I'm not in the... And you hear this keyboard, you know, this just brass sound. And I would hit a pad, and I'd hit it on the one, and that whole motif would play.
Yep.
You know, throughout the whole chorus. And if we did a double chorus, I'd have to hit it again on the one to have it go straight through, but it would end on the end of the motif. So this was something that actually became a lot of fun for me, you know. It took drumming from just laying down two and four to actually, yep. I'm DJing back there. I'm doing all kinds of different stuff. So I would have to go from hitting trigger samples to going back to a computer and starting full, you know, yep. tracks, you know, with a, you know, little extra vocals and things like okay. that. You need them. Everybody's doing it today.
Yeah, for sure. Now, did you ever hit the wrong?
Oh yeah,
and then a totally different part.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
I remember I used to use a Yamaha unit that had six triggers on it before I got into DAWs. And I remember we were doing a show in New Glasgow, Nova Scotia,
yeah.
and Mark comes running up to me and he goes, "There's a sample playing in the background. I don't know what it is." And I'm looking and I'm seeing something's playing that somehow just got triggered.
Yeah.
So I would keep a rig beside me. I got this down to an art now where my sampler was in the rig, and if I would hit something accidentally, and it would happen. It would happen.
Oh, yeah.
I would just roll the volume down.
Yeah.
And okay, and I could do it with one hand, you know, yeah. And then I would know how long it would play. I could turn it back up again, yeah. so I could hit the right thing at the right time.
Crazy.
So, no, it's funny, you know.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
All right, one more Platinum Blonde song to listen to. This is called Valentine. It's from 2014, and Dan is on the drums on this one.
Hi, I'm Craig Beck from Kitchener, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
I'm trying to think of some of the other bands that, you know, that we had played with. Cheap Trick. Man, oh man, oh man, that was so cool. We played with Cheap Trick out in Saskatchewan. And we're getting ready to go on stage, and I've got my whole outfit on, and Natalie's with me and stuff, and we get a pound on the door, and Rick Nelson comes walking in, guitar player for Cheap Trick.
Yep.
And we had seen his entire rig, and Natalie and I had seen Rick Nelson with Cheap Trick opening for Poison just like 2 weeks prior, and so it was neat to see them. And then you know, I'm talking to Rick about how many guitar picks he throws into the audience, and he orders. He does two orders a year of 60,000 picks.
Oh, you're kidding,
man. So he plays a lick and a pick goes flying in the audience. Yeah. And next thing you know, he's handfuls. Just he'll play with a handful of picks and
they're just
flying everywhere, you know? So everybody in the first 10 rows, everybody gets a plethora of guitar picks to bring home. So we're watching them set up and we see the little bin beside. So of course, Natalie goes in. My wife goes in, grabs a handful. I grab a handful, you know, and stuff. But we met Rick and he was the sweetest guy. And he was telling me, he goes, "You guys are from Toronto." He goes, "I got a friend there named Kim Mitchell." And Natalie and I are very good friends with Kim Mitchell, who's got a brand new song out right now called Wishes. Keep your ears out for that. But I know Rick and Kim are great friends. And
well, I should tell that story with Kim Mitchell and
Little River Band.
Tell that story.
We were playing, we were doing a festival out west, and it was in Richmond, British Columbia, and so. Natalie and I decided to fly in a day early to go and see Kim play, because Kim's our buddy, you know what I mean? And we were watching from the side of the stage, and these musicians were standing there, and we just went and introduced ourselves to them, and they were from the Little River Band. And I remember, you know, Little River Band when I was a kid. You know, we're talking like mid-70s, you know? And they, being from the States, they weren't familiar with Kim Mitchell. Because Kim Mitchell is an icon in Canada, and people I think in the United States may know a little bit more about Max Webster, or it's musicians that from the United States that know about Kim. But these guys had no idea who he was, and these guys, one guitar player and I believe it was a guitar player and a bass player, or sorry, a guitar player and a keyboard player for Little River Band were standing with us, and their names are eluding me right now, but they're watching Kim from the side of the stage with their jaws on the floor, going, "I can't believe this, listen to these songs," you know. And so I remember Kim goes into All We Are, which is like, in my opinion, the Stairway to Heaven.
That's
from Canada.
Absolutely, for
you
sure.
Know? And you ever hear him play this song live, and of course with Peter's voice, you know, I to this day still get chills when I watch them do it, you know. And the Little River Band guys were watching them do All We Are, and their jaws were on the floor, just going, "Oh my Lord, listen to this guy, listen to this guy." And so I go to Kim, I says to Kim the next morning, we're having breakfast, I says, "The guys from Little River Band were freaking out watching you." I says, "They said they'd never heard anything like that." And he's going, "Yeah, whatever." Because Kim's just such a humble guy, right? You know. outside of Platinum Blonde, I've been lucky to work with a lot of Toronto cats. Terry Gowan is a very good friend of mine. Terry's brother, Larry, of course, we all know Larry Gowan. Yeah. You know, Strange Animal and stuff. But Terry plays with his brother when they tour and stuff. And I had played with Terry in a place in Toronto where a lot of musicians would come out to. It was great. It was a lot of fun. This place called Sopra. And we were always playing with really good players. You know, he always had somebody new coming in it was always just a joke. Great fun. You know what it's like. You get a chance to play with seasoned guys just turn it on, you know? And he would bring in singers from Kinky Boots and different musicians and stuff with this. But last time I played with Terry was at his father's funeral. It was myself, Larry, and Terry. I played the song Dancing on My Own Ground with them. And I love that song, you know? Larry comes up and gives me a big hug afterwards, you know, thanks for being there for me, and God bless him. Larry's been busy for the last 20 years playing with Styx.
Yep.
Pretty good gig, I'd say.
Oh, for sure. You have to have the bass for that.
Oh, yeah, he replaced Dennis DeYoung.
Yeah.
Or I should say because he carried the torch.
Yeah.
You know, because I know Dennis is still playing. It's great now, doing it at an age that I'm doing it now. Like, I'm going to be 50 next year. And the musicians that I grew up listening to, I've become great friends with, you know, and it's funny how that's all turned out, because a lot of these guys are my heroes. And too, I remember being backstage with my wife, and she's with Brett Michaels. We just finished playing a show with Brett Michaels, and Cyndi Lauper was on stage, and I'm looking at all these guys that I'm surrounded by, you know, at these festivals, and Rock the River, and I had played it a couple years prior with Journey and Whitesnake and Helix. And who else was on that gig?
These huge names.
And we're hanging out with these guys. It's just another thing, you know. So, it's neat to because you can become friends with them. And what I'd recommend for any young musician that's out there, you know, it's so important to network.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I got that.
Exchange those numbers, and because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to call you and say, hey, are you available to do a week with us out in Vegas? Are you available to do this?
Or even for recording. Like, somebody needs a drummer for...
Absolutely.
On short notice for studio work.
Absolutely. Like, you know, and the only thing I'd recommend for any young up-and-coming player, sometimes I really want to get my teeth into everything, but I have to be careful of not jumping into something where I'm a fish out of water or biting off something more than I can chew.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody calls me up and says, look, I want you to play, you know, some really heavy jazz stuff on this album. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can do it, but I'm the wrong guy.
Yeah. But I remember at one point you were even playing with the Greek band, I think, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I did it.
So there you go, because that's totally different, right?
Yeah, but that was very unique, because I'm in the studio playing with a bunch of guys. These guys hired me, and the lead dude didn't speak a word of English.
Yeah.
You know, they're explaining to me what this guy's explaining to somebody who's translating it into English, and I'd have to kind of sit back and, oh, you want this type of thing, so that was a challenge, you know. But that was fun, and did a bunch of shows with them. I don't really know what's happened with them, or if it was something that just kind of went off quickly.
But as far as your playing though, like, that would really expand your, because all of a sudden you're using maybe one of those rhythms in a rock tune.
Well, yeah, the one that I found the most challenging was Greek music. They do stuff in 9/8.
Yeah.
They have these kind of traditional folk type things that they do, and it's like, where's the one? Oh, there it is. Okay. Oh, there it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh,
it's
for sure.
It's not what we're used to, you know. So you know, very lucky that way.
Good for you.
But we were talking earlier about endorsements and stuff. I use Rick Baker drums. I've been endorsing his stuff for many, many years, probably the last probably 15 years. And I'm a Sabian guy. I've been using Sabian cymbals forever. And Sabian has been so good to me. When some of the roster, they were cleaning house for some reason, my name stayed on it. And I've always said this, endorsements are based on relationships. You know, you get to know these people. And it's funny because I'm also signed to D'Addario Canada, who take care of my Evans drumheads. This is a family, the Larry Davidson and his family. They when I went in to meet them the very first time, it wasn't all about, here, this is what we do, and here, look at how great we are. It was like, tell us about Dan, because they want to get to know you.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and because of them, I remember they had brought me in. I did a drum thing with a drum core group right in D'Addario factory.
Okay.
And they brought these kids in from the school, and I hear a Platinum Blonde drummer, you know, talking to these kids about touring and all this stuff. And one of the kids asked me, you know, about drugs. And I said, you know, I don't use drugs. And I says, I've never in my life put anything up my nose. And my dad was there at the time. And this is something my dad repeated. It was really funny. He says, I've never put anything up my nose. I'm too afraid to. And they looked at me like, why are you afraid? I says, I'm afraid I'll like it. You know, I've never done coke. I'm around it. I've been around it a lot, touring and seeing it, you know, and stuff. And it's just not my scene. And I'll tell you this right now, it's really passe. And just, I don't believe people are really doing it like they used to. In the 80s, it was like a big thing for people. For me, it's nothing I've ever touched.
Yeah.
You know, which doesn't make me any greater or any less than anybody else. It was my choice. You know, heck, I only started drinking beer when I turned like when I met my wife, you know what I mean? Okay, and she wasn't a beer drinker either. It was just something, you know, let's try one, you know, and yeah. Next thing that we now enjoy having a beer and stuff. But my dad said to me, he goes, that was really profound what you said, you know, you've never done Coke because you're afraid you'll like it. but my father was very, very proud of me. And I learned that from his funeral, how many people came up and said, you know, your dad talked about you all the time. And that meant so much because I followed in his footsteps, you know. And one of the greatest moments for myself was I had signed an endorsement deal. I used to play drumsticks made in Toronto by a company called Rimshot. And they were really good to me. And I don't know what happened with them, but I then moved on to using Headhunters. Which I had a signature stick with them, and
yeah, I think I've seen that at some point.
And then I was approached by a company out of the United States called Silver Fox, and Silver Fox has been around for quite a while. And I had gotten ready for a new tour, excuse me, with Platinum Blonde, where we were all wearing white. So Rick built me a white drum set, and Dan Dawes sent me white drum pads. So everything was white, you know. And so Silver Fox said, we're going to make you a Signature Series white drumstick.
Wow.
And I don't have any here. My mom might have one tucked away somewhere. So I had a white drumstick with my signature on it. And I always put a verse on my stick, like a biblical verse. And I put the verse that says, praise him with loud crashing cymbals. You know, and that was just my thing.
That's
that,
cool.
You know... that was kind of ties in the whole drum thing.
That's great.
But Silver Fox, they are no longer. So I am now a proud endorsee of Los Cabos Drumsticks, which is a Canadian product. They again gave me a signature stick. I'm really pleased to use their stuff. They've been another company who's so good to me. I make a phone call on a Monday. I have a shipment of sticks within 5 days. They're sitting on my doorstep. You know what I mean? I'll order 60 pairs, and there they are. But back to D'Addario, I was playing in Winnipeg. We were doing a show with Sass Jordan.
Okay.
And Cassius, the drummer who's playing with Sass, a great friend of mine. But being in Winnipeg, I always reach out to my friend Mitch Dorge, who's the drummer for the Crash Test Dummies. And Mitch and I are also great friends. And Mitch, we were backstage, a bunch of drummers. There's myself, there's Cassius, just drummers talking together. And Cassius was looking for an endorsement. And Mitch and I both knew, we're both signed to D'Addario. So it was great, two of us representing that brand, if you want to say.
Yeah, for sure.
And to get Cassius hooked up with them, and we did. We got him hooked up, and it was great. I always love touring because you get to run into people like that.
And
if you ever run into Mitch Dorge, and he comes up to you, he's going to hug you. Doesn't matter who you are, and he is not going to let you go.
Okay.
You know, I love Mitch to death. Super, super guy. So you know. So I'm sure there's a bunch of things that I've missed there in my life. But is there anything that you wanted to ask me?
No, I'm just even for sure. Do you have any future? I guess with COVID-19, everything's basically shut down all summer.
Everything.
Every summer concert and
everything. Nobody is playing this year.
So. Is there any recording or anything like that that's kind of in the works?
I have a project that I'm going to do right now. This is my thing, based on something that I saw in Vegas. I have an idea for a corporate band. I've got the right group of guys now lined up that I'm bringing into this. And the whole idea is these guys are heavyweights that have been on the scene for many years, and we're just going to go out and have fun.
Great.
You know, and it's... kind of like similar to what you and I did last year for Canada Day. Remember, you know, when we played in, what was that town
just
called?
Just outside of
Hamilton there.
Yeah.
Same kind of humor.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and everything was upbeat. Every tune was sort of a punchy,
absolutely.
Happy, fun song.
Absolutely. You know, so, but this is more for corporate stuff, you know, and you know, you need a proper wedding band with the drummer of Platinum Blonde. You know who to contact. So, but you know, for those out there who are interested in following me and what I'm doing, I am on Facebook. I have Dan Todd fan page. But Dan Todd fan page on Facebook, The Real Dan Todd on Twitter, and my Instagram, Drummer Dan Todd. Anybody has any drum questions or music questions, you guys are, you're always welcome to message me there. And I may not get back to you right away, but I will get, I do get back to everybody, you know. So I do my best with that. And that was something that, that's another thing that I found very important. When I joined Platinum Blonde, I always was very involved in social media and was very able to stay on top of everything. And then as time went on, it was hard to keep up.
Because they probably have hurt some real hardcore fans for years.
Absolutely. And you know, it's just one thing about answering questions. It's another thing about people just wanting to have conversation. And I'm not a rude person. I can't fall into that.
You know, for sure. You'd spend all day.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not important what I had for breakfast. You know what I mean? You know, but Stephen, this has been a lot of fun.
Well, thanks.
I don't know how long we've been doing this now, but
Anyway, it's been a great interview, and I learned a little bit more about my own cousin. That good stuff. I look forward to whatever. I'm sure you're going to end up doing some other stuff too, so it'll be interesting to follow.
Yeah. You know, I we could sit down sometime. We could talk stories, man. I always laugh, you know, it's great. And I know I've brought my wife up now a couple of times, but it's great taking her with me because she'll humble anybody, you know. And one great story, we're down in California and we're at NAMM and we run into Steve Lukather. And I was a total freak, you know, as a kid growing up, Jeff Beccaro on drums and stuff. So Steve is surrounded by a bunch of people and Natalie walks up to Steve and she goes, "Excuse me, Steve, do you have a moment?" He goes, "You darling, you can have anything you want." And she goes, "Would you like to take can we take a photo, you, me, and my husband?" And he looks at me, he goes, "Dude, I wasn't hitting on your girl. I swear to God, I was." So, to be around Steve Lukather, this was a big deal, you know, for me. Another guy that we met down there, who was the sweetest guy in the world, Jonathan Moffitt. Jonathan Moffitt, they call him Sugarfoot, and Jonathan played drums for Michael Jackson. He also played with George Michael.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan was just a monster, and it was funny because when I went up and introduced myself, he goes, "I know you." He goes, "We've done a poster together," and I remembered that in Sabian, I did a poster that him a poster, and we were both on it. But the thing is, he recognized my face, and that really meant a lot to me. And again, just a really really nice guy. So, I've been so lucky, you know,
Well, there's more to come, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Steve, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
You know, and I hope we haven't gone overboard on all
this
stuff.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, cheers.
Okay, thanks.